Danny, how are you this morning?
Morning, gents. I'm a little bit tired, but I'm on time.
Slap.
One nil, Widler.
On this week, Clarkie, which sports journalist slept in and missed the start of his segment?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Get in that shush column.
Was very good.
Oh, great stuff. Now, Denny, last night Peter Volandis was on 100% footy. Now, as were you. Now, we've been talking this morning about potentially the dilution of product should an extra team come into the NRL. It seems like, though, that Peter Volandis and his team will push ahead pretty strongly with this.
Look, he's determined, isn't he? Look, whatever Peter Volandis seems to want to get, he gets. I still have some serious question marks as to whether there is the playing depth and playing talent. When you look at, without being disrespectful to the Bulldogs too much and the Titans and a couple of other teams, you look at their playing strength and you just don't see enough there. And Phil Gould was very much of the opinion that on the interview last night that you've got to develop your pathways and get players coming through. And I get that. Gus knows more about football than I do. But from a journalist perspective and someone who observes the game, I think that we're struggling for talent to fill 16 teams at the moment.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Denny. From what I look at the moment, I see there's a distinct gap between the best teams and the bottom teams, and some of those teams it'll take a while to improve. And with pathway systems, Gus is correct, but I think some pathways in all the other codes will certainly improve. And then you've got stronger competition. You know, you've got AFL, you've got soccer in this country, you've got the sleeping giant, which is basketball in this country, people competing for the talented kids. And I think, obviously, you know, we do a really good job. And we have done a good job over a long period of time, but I think it's about to be more competitive. So it'll be interesting to see how we attack it. But talking about expansion, when's it likely to sort of happen? And obviously with this new, the Bombers being a part of it, and Ipswich, who's the front runner for expansion?
Look, it's obviously a Brisbane team. I can't tell you with any honesty which of those it would be. But it was very interesting listening to Volandis last night. There seems to be a real concern about the way that talent is being used and developed in Queensland. And maybe that's why there's this strong push for a second team. Don't quote me directly, but Peter Volandis raised concerns on the show last night about the future of State of Origin because of, you know, the way that Queensland teams and are going at the moment and development of football. And that really took me aback. I was quite surprised when he said that. I don't know what your opinion is, Laurie. If you're as concerned about Queensland, I mean, down in New South Wales, we like to win Origin, but we do like it to be obviously the pinnacle of the game and a highly competitive sport. But you look at the way the Queensland teams have been going, and I don't have a lot of sympathy for the Queensland Origin team, but the way the Queensland teams have been going, you've got to be a little bit concerned.
Yeah, we've been concerned for the last couple of weeks, and we've put it on the Queensland coach, Kevin Walters, how concerned he is about the Queensland teams being in the bottom half of the ladder and struggling to play some good football. And Kevy's as positive as anything. He said, no, he's not worried about those players at all. He believes they'll come good. But it is a concern because the majority of their players come from those three teams. And if, with the structure of the Origin series this year, with no football for a month, if their sides aren't a part of finals, it'll be very difficult for them to win State of Origin. Yes, they'll be able to call on players from other teams and a few of those players that miss out. For the long-term future, I think he's got a point, Peter Volandis, when he talks about it. You need Queensland to be strong. It's a rugby league stronghold, and all those places you need to be shoring up. And, you can't afford to have Broncos going poor when up there in Brisbane you've got the Brisbane Lions are coming good and also the Gold Coast Suns. They look as though finally they're about to find some form, and they've got a team that will be successful into the future. So you don't want the AFL having this good period and the Queensland clubs struggling, because you might lose numbers or continue to lose numbers away from rugby league.
There's no reason that the Brisbane Broncos should be as bad as they are. There is no, I mean, you look at their vast array of talent they have, they've got all the money in the world, they just shouldn't be this bad. I mean, there has to be some serious questions about the appointment of Anthony Seibold going forward. I mean, I know we've brought it up, but I scratch my head and I wonder if, when I watch them play, and again, you understand it better than I do, and but I wonder, when I watch them play, they don't appear to know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, I sort of look at it like this. I see young Tom Dearden there, who I've heard nothing but strong reports about, and being the next up-and-coming halfback of that franchise. And then they've got him in their midst, and all of a sudden then they sign a guy like Brodie Croft. Then you see the pathways for all these young men, and they stockpile the forward pack, and the balance of the team is not right. And then all of a sudden it's all about this youth, and then they realise that youth is not the path or the journey they want to continue down. We need more experience. So then they go and sign Ben Teo and Isaac Luke. So for me, I'm just getting mixed messages all along. It's like the path they've started out on and how they want to get there has changed, and they're going in different directions to get there.
I don't think the players understand Anthony Seibold, simple as that. I mean, he is clearly a very smart bloke. But I just don't know if they understand what he wants.
Yeah, and that might be a fair point too. But what they're doing at the moment is like one part of the team is pulling in a different direction to the other, and they look as though there's no cohesion there. They're a bit reluctant to do things because they're unsure of themselves. And if you're unsure of yourself, that means there's confusion. So they need to sort that out.
Danny, I understand there's limitations in the information out there. Well, just give us an update on Jack DeBellin and what occurred in court yesterday.
You know, look, it's a really difficult one to talk about because we'll land all of ourselves in a legal drama. Other than to say nothing was determined yesterday, we may see some kind of determination by the week's end. But again, it's just one of those ones where we can't talk about it. We can't give you any details. Otherwise, we'll all be sued.
Denny, what about Bronson Cherry? Any news on his B sample?
I asked about that yesterday, people have been very tight-lipped about all that. Ultimately, I don't think there'll be any doubt about what happens with the B sample. It's more about Bronson going forward. What I can say is I don't think that the narrative that has been put out there by some media outlets is correct. I think we have to just sit back on this one. And I guess we'll only know the truth when Bronson decides to speak and tell us his story.
What did you make of the sacking of Stephen Carney?
Look, I get it. I've heard you guys talk about it and say it's a hard one to understand, and it's emotionally a difficult one to wear. But I look at it like this. I think he's a tremendous bloke and he's liked by the players, I think that they had to make that decision. The results haven't been there consistently for a long time, and I don't know who can get those results, but he wasn't getting them. I think he's a tremendous assistant coach. I was surprised when he was appointed initially, and I'm not that surprised that they've done this. There were whispers, I don't know if it sounds wise in hindsight, but there were whispers earlier in the year and in the off-season that he wouldn't even see the start of the season potentially. That's how much the owner wanted him not there. And now that he's gone, unfortunately, it's had a massive impact on the playing group because they like him. But it's clearly a decision that the club needs to shake things up and make things happen.
There's always, you know, the list of usual coaches that are linked to a position when someone gets sacked. But Is there anyone in your mind that you think the Warriors should approach or will approach?
Look, I think they've got to go for experience. I think that's, you had your interview yesterday with their CEO, and he indicated just as you know, that was the way they have to go, and I agree with him. They can't throw a rookie in there. I mean, Todd Payton might be the world's next best coach, but I don't know if he's going to get a chance to show that at the Warriors. I hate saying Wayne Bennett because everybody likes to throw his name at every club. And I spoke to Wayne yesterday and said, you know, have you signed up at how many different clubs? And he said, well, I'm Mr. Everywhere, but I'm at South. So he wasn't giving much away. But they've got to go for someone in that sort of genre, like a seasoned, serious coach who can take charge, not just of the playing group, but almost the entire club, because they need someone very strong. I like the idea of a Kiwi coach, but I don't know who that could be. I don't see an obvious solution.
Denny, Paul Green has indicated that, well, he doesn't feel like he's under that much pressure as far as his job's concerned. Is that the case?
Look, my information there is that as of a few weeks ago, there were moves to re-sign Paul Green, to extend his deal. The fact that their team is playing the way they are right now, you have to be realistic and say there are some issues there. Phil Gould on the show last night said he's the most under-pressure coach in the comp, Paul Green. I would have thought maybe there are a couple of others, but clearly there were some indications to Green that they wanted him to stay there long term as of a few weeks ago, but that has not been enacted upon as yet. So you would have to think if they keep going the way they are, and I think they've got a horrible run coming up too, where they're playing against a swag of the leading teams, and that's going to really test the Cowboys' resolve.
Yeah, and given that they've got a number of high-profile players still on the injured list, you've got Valentine Holmes missing, Jordan McLean and Michael Morgan, it's going to be very, very difficult.
Laurie, you've singled him out a few times, from what I've heard. I mean, you seem to think he's under real pressure.
Yeah, I do. I think he's a wonderful coach, and I think he'd be a good fit for a Warriors or if a Dogs or whoever, if a position became available. But I just, after last weekend, that first 40 minutes, yes, they turned it around in the second 40, but the worry for me was how they started that game. And if that's the trend that's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, I think he's under plenty of pressure. And I think that it might be time for Paul to move on. But again, it'll come down to results. And he's in a situation now where, you know, he's a wanted coach. So it's not as if he leaves the Cowboys, he's not going to get picked up somewhere. And he may well have the choice of a couple of clubs. So it'll be an interesting sort of couple of weeks, I reckon, for the Cowboys to see how their results go and whether Paul feels as though it might be time for him to sort of say, well, hey, it's not working here. I'll go and get another job somewhere else.
Can't we kill off a coach at the moment? It's just remarkable. I mean, it's amazing.
CEO.
Well, yeah, it's funny because in this time we're hearing about financial responsibility.
Yep.
One of the things that emerged on the show last night was Peter Melandis basically confirmed that Andrew Abdo is the CEO going forward. So you'd think that Abdo or Melandis is going to have to maybe at least sort of give a couple of these clubs a call and say, listen, remember how you were on your knees 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
No.
Because it costs a lot of money to just toss these coaches out into the ether and, you know, and then replace them. I mean, where's the financial regard gone?
Well, that's the big challenge. And with the soft salary cap on football spend, that is another consideration that clubs always take into account before they move a coach on. But again, it always gets back to, and I have had it said to me a number of times on this program, and I've had it said when I stuck up for Stephen Kearney, it's a results-driven business. If you don't get the results, you're gone. I think, you know, Stephen Kearney deserved at least another month or two over there with the Warriors. But I also said that, you know, now that the decision is made, there's certainty there in what the Warriors are doing going forward. But it's a difficult one because coaches are under the pump. Players get off scot-free. they do get scrutinised, but not as harshly as the coaches. The coaches these days, who'd want to do it?
Laurie, I've got to pick you up on your power rankings too. What are you going against poor old Manly? I mean, that was the performance of a lifetime, and you only put them at number two.
I know, Danny. I couldn't go past the Roosters. Mate, you're a Bondi boy. You should be sticking up for the Chooks.
The Roosters are fantastic. I agree with you. But that Manly performance, geez, talk about, you know, the influence of a coach. Des Hasler, he hasn't got the best squad in the league. He's got a sort of a handful of outstanding players. But the way they play for him, if they can get a full team on the paddock at the right time of the year, I still think they can challenge the very, very best teams. That was fantastic.
Yeah, great resilience shown. And they had every excuse to lose that game if they wanted to take that path. If they wanted to say, hey, this is too hard, I think most people would have went, oh, you know what, they've lost three good players. The Raiders are a very good team. They were committed, but unfortunately just didn't get the job done. But they did, and that'll hold them in good stead towards the end of the season. I also noticed you had a yarn at Aidan Tolman.
Yeah, the poor bugger. If you've ever had anything to do with Aidan, he's a very unassuming character who the last thing he wants is a spotlight on him. And he was very nervous when he got the news from the school, and then he had to tell his club that, you know, he could have come in contact with the virus. And he did all the right things. And it's been a pretty tough time for the Tolman family. Aidan had to go into isolation, leave the family. They've all had to do their corona test. The poor kids have got to do another one, I think, on Friday. He's got to do another one on Friday. He wasn't allowed. He thought he'd just be able to get back and train. He wasn't allowed to do that. He got out of isolation, then whacked back into it. But he's also been watching the AFL situation very closely. He just thought, oh, wow, I didn't want to be the player who could have stopped rugby league. And for a while there, he was very, very nervous. Credit to him. He did all the right things. We've got to point that out. And he hopes to be playing this weekend. And interestingly, I don't know whether, I mean, the other prop they've got, Luke Thompson, I'm hearing he might have to still be a couple of weeks away from playing. So, they need both those players back in a hurry.
Just finally, Denny, I've just seen a tweet at Buzz Rothfield, there will be a get square.
I hope I'm in his column this week.
Mate, great to talk to you as always. Have a good week.
Thank you. See ya.